All right, producer Jeff, episode 9, not going to lie, kind of blew me away a little bit.
It was a good one.
It was a really good one. And, you know, I joked at the end of it, it kind of felt like a therapy session, except that it really did kind of feel like a therapy session by the end. More for me than you. But I really got a lot out of it. And to me, when we started talking about doing the Dying to Ask podcast, that's what I really wanted, because not so secretly, I want to know all these things from these people because I want to make changes in my life. So I like learning how people are doing things. And to me, Rachel Hollis is kind of like at the top of that list right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, we started thinking about episode 10 and I thought, well, man, I don't want to be the person who follows Rachel Hollis.
That's a tough act to follow.
And I felt like we still had some unfinished business. So this is Rachel Hollis part 2. So we want to break down the episode and we want you guys to hear what we've been talking about this week, what we've learned, because as many of you have pointed out, she kind of threw me under the bus a little bit and called me out on some stuff about our podcast. And as I thought about it, she was dead right.
Yeah.
Dead right. And I'm getting a lot out of it.
Yeah, it was good advice.
Personal transformation starts today. Here we go. Have you ever wondered, how did they do that? I'm talking about the art of the follow through. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and Dying to Ask is the podcast that gets me off a TV news set and into candid conversations with authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers I have been dying to talk to. So brace yourself. This is a verbal gut check about what it takes to go from idea to reality. And who knows, maybe along the way, you'll get some answers to questions you've been dying to ask. So we have had some really big names on the podcast. We had Dr. Sandra Lee, better known as
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Dr. Pimple Popper. I guarantee people don't even know her first name anymore. It's Dr. Pimple Popper. We had Emily Giffen, the New York Times bestselling writer. We had Stephanie Abrams from the Weather Channel. But probably the biggest name that we've had, at least in this world of podcasting and in social media, absolutely had to be Rachel Hollis. So it was a big, like, for us, a get to be able to have her on the show.
Mm-hmm. It was a big deal.
It was a really big deal, and we were really excited about it. And, you know, I my only fear was that it wouldn't live up to the expectation of my mind, would it be like? I thought, oh, it's going to be horribly disappointing if it's not. And it was better. Like, we finished, I thought, that was a fantastic conversation. But I feel like there's just more to talk about.
Yeah, there's definitely stuff to hash out here.
Yeah, there's some stuff we need to get over. So I guess my question to you, since you were not familiar with her, I briefed you and gave you, like, the Cliff Notes version before we did the interview, which is what I do. Were you surprised by the way she was and what she had to say?
Not totally.
Because you're not exactly her demo.
Yeah, I'm not. And I honestly had never heard of her before doing this. So I had to do a little bit of research and just kind of figure out what she was all about. But I wasn't totally surprised by the message. I thought that she was super engaging. And I wouldn't say that would surprise me, but it was, I guess better than I thought it could be.
You know what
I
mean? Exactly. One of the things for people who are, you know, devotees of Rachel Hollis and her message, the girl wash your face message, the thing that women asked me was, what was she really like? Which is what women always ask each other. as soon as you meet anyone, what were they really like? And here's the thing. She was the real deal.
Oh, yeah.
And you can tell whether you're working in television news or in podcasting, when the camera's off or when we stop recording audio, people tend to change. You and I do. We're a little bit more casual when we're not doing this. And she wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, from beginning to end, from testing out our Skype to having the conversation to stopping down to getting a drink of water, the energy is the same. The charisma is the same. I was really impressed by that because I look for that, whether, you know, it's an overt thing or just because I've been doing this since the dawn of day. I look for that with people. And when you meet people who are exactly the same 24/7, I think the trendy word for that is, of course, authentic.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who appear to be authentic, and there is nothing authentic.
It's a curated authenticity.
It is planned spontaneity. Yeah, curated authenticity. That's a great way to put it. And she just didn't strike me as that. I mean,
no.
Like, this is somebody who has carved out a really interesting niche in society right now, who, in my humble opinion, is the real deal. And I found it really interesting to experience that.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the other things that people, you know, were interested in is there was a little bit of a throwdown, put down, call out. I'm trying to think of whatever else you want to call it. Because I had mentioned during the podcast.
I might call it just a call to the carpet.
A call to the carpet. A comeuppance. No, she really put out a challenge to us. And it came when I asked her for some advice, somebody who would like to grow this podcast in this space more. She has had tremendous success with her podcast, Rise and Rise Together, number one and number three in the same week on iTunes. I mean, just mind-blowing. ours, not so much.
We'll get level. There.
Great effort on our part, but we're not there yet. So I kind of put it, I'm going to say I, not we. I'm sorry, not meaning to pull you along on the train with me. But I threw it out there to her and I said, well, give us some advice. Tell us what to do. And here's what she said.
So the most important thing that you can do for your audience, for your podcast, is to add value to your audience. So many people who get into podcasting are trying to compete in the way that everybody else is trying to compete. And the question we are always asking ourselves is, how are we serving our audience? How are we serving our community? How are we bringing them information that is helpful to them? Meaning, like my podcast that went up today was about how do you increase your revenue? Which is something that people might think like, what a weird thing for Rachel to talk about. But I know that the vast majority of people who listen to the Rise podcast are small business owners because I'm speaking on stages to them all the time and it's something they really struggle with. And so I was like, well, maybe it would be helpful if I told people the few things that I've done, really simple, tactical pieces of advice that would be helpful to my listeners and for you, the same thing. So what's going to happen is that your instinct is going to be like, oh, I want to be like everybody else in my category. And I want to get, you even said earlier, sorry, I'm going to call you out, but you said earlier, like someday, we're going to be big enough that we're going to get a certain kind of person on your podcast. And what I'm going to tell you is the person on your podcast is not necessarily going to drive listeners. What's going to drive listeners is that you understand your audience and you are serving them. So everybody right now, because our podcasts are so successful, everybody wants to be a guest on our show. And at first we were like, this is so fancy. All of these big, exciting people want to talk on our show. But then we get them on our show and all they want to talk about is the book that you could go buy or the thing that you should sign up for. And that doesn't help my audience at all. If you're a stay-at-home mom and you're struggling financially, you might not have the funds for that. So I only want people on my show that are as passionate about serving an audience as I am. And so I guess I would say to you guys, who is your audience? Who are your listeners and what do they care about?
So just a few simple questions from Rachel Hollis. So as she was saying this, I have all these like light bulbs going off in my head. Did you?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to really know a demo in a podcast. We know there are listeners. We know that there are numbers of listeners. Mm-hmm. But other than social media engagement, we don't know anything about our listeners per se.
Yeah. And she was totally right when said, you know, we want to have a show like.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's what we said, because that sounded like a pretty good goal.
Yeah.
But that said, I think she's onto something where having a niche and going with the idea of service first and providing that to a listener is really important. Now, what do we do with that? We'll do that after this. Jeff, what's your favorite part of the KCRA app?
Probably the weather.
The weather, because?
I need to know if I need to wear boots or, you know, sandals if I could wear them.
It's a footwear thing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like knowing something before I head out the door. I need to know things. If I'm going to read them out loud, I need to know a little something. So that's the first thing I do is I look at the app. I see what happened overnight. I get myself caught up. So when I walk in the door, I sound smart.
Sounds good.
It does, as long as you read it. KCRA app, it is free. It's in the app store. It's like having KCRA in your pocket.
Who wouldn't want then?
People who don't want to know things.
Obviously.
Not listening to this podcast. Okay, so Rachel said, know who your audience is, yeah. Provide them a service. So here's what we do know about the people who are listening to this podcast after 10 episodes. This is courtesy of
After
iTunes.
Nine episodes. This is the 10th.
Yeah, this is the 10th, correct, yeah. We know that 98% of you live in the U.S.
Yay!
Yay! USA. Go USA! USA! 1% of you live in Canada.
The subpar hockey country, I will say.
Oh, be careful now. Be careful now. So I love that we're international. So to be positive, this is an international show, which is, you know,
yeah,
that's
awesome.
A score. That's really interesting. The other thing that we have discovered is you guys are very good listeners, like really good listeners. You listen to this show for a lot longer than people tend to listen to podcasts, which is great because we know that if you actually start playing, you're probably going to stick around.
Yeah.
The question is, why are you sticking around? So it means you either are getting something out of the content, like you are learning with our mission statement, how did somebody go from idea to reality? How did somebody like a Rachel Hollis go from being a food blogger and a lifestyle website owner to becoming the top motivational speaker in the country? That was certainly a good ride. Or maybe it's somebody like a Turner Sparks from one of our previous episodes, who was the guy who became an entrepreneur in China and had the first ice cream trucks and then got into stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
So there's something about the story and the journey that I think people like. So we know that.
Yeah, I think definitely content-wise, it's engaging, it's entertaining. I listen through these.
Jeff listens to them a lot. Do you hate it sometimes?
Only when I'm having technical problems.
Okay.
It's never the content that I hate. It's never just, oh my gosh, this is so dull. No, I've never had that.
Right.
And I think that like that's something that there's something to be said about that. Because I think it could very easily turn into, or it could have easily turned into like, okay, cool, like this thing. But no, like every single one of them I think is super interesting. Even if it's not somebody who their sphere of influence necessarily includes me.
Yeah, because you, like I said, you were not really Rachel's demo necessarily, but you were into it. You were into the content. And my kind of based my questions off of you, because I can tell if you're starting to glaze over. I'm like, if I can keep producer Jeff involved, much like I do my two sons, then I think that there's something here.
They might have a longer attention span than
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But for me as a content producer, because I've been creating television content and online content for more than 20 years. So that's the part of it that I love is the content. And my barometer, whether I'm on TV or I'm sitting here with you, is am I interested? And if my answer is no, then I got to do something different or I want to blow it up. So keeping it to the content to me is huge.
Yeah.
So the question is, how does that then translate into podcasts? And getting back to trying to answer her question is, how do you serve your audience?
Yeah.
Have you figured that out?
No. So I have some thoughts on this. Okay. I've been thinking about this the last few days since we recorded the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I think like the best that I can come up with right now is that because the podcast is so young, we can't necessarily answer a lot of these questions. And I think that the best thing that we can keep doing is be consistent. And I think that obviously I'm not an expert at these things, but my feeling is these things sometimes just take some time. And so as we continue to grow our listener base, I think we'll have a better idea of who they are and the content that they want and be able to keep giving that. But I think that in the meantime, if we're consistent in what we offer, that will continue to have people continue to come back because they know what to expect, when they turn on a podcast.
Okay. So what do you want them to be able to expect? What do you want to be able to deliver?
I think when we talked about this at the beginning, we went to teach people something. And I think that the best way to do that is to teach them and be engaging and entertaining at the same time. Like to bring up Turner Sparks again, I feel like that one, our analytics say that people stayed for a long time to listen to that whole thing, but didn't necessarily have a lot of people click through to listen to in the first place. So mm-hmm. He's not a household name per se. So not a lot of people. A lot of people were probably like, "Oh, well, who's this guy?" But the people who listened to it stayed for much longer character because he was so engaging, because he was funny. He's been doing this a long time. He has his own podcast. And that combined with the stand-up comedy, I think, just made for a really entertaining listen.
Our biggest episode was actually our first one with Dr. Pimple Popper, mm-hmm. because people love zip popping.
Right.
They do. And she was unexpected, I think, and interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the other questions that I've been getting is I've had a number of people reach out to me who are interested in starting podcasts. So I really love the idea of being transparent about the process and teaching people. And I've answered a bunch of questions for people. And I give them the same advice that I typically give our interns, which is I try to talk them out of joining the business. Because I figure if I tell you the reality of what this is going to be like and you still want to do it, then you really want to do it.
Like,
I always think my job is to talk you out of it, not into it.
Right.
Because I don't want you to get into it and go, you sold me up that river.
Not all daisies and roses.
It's not. No. I mean, it's a really different kind of space to work in. But it's enjoyable too. But I think that the real lesson that I got out of the conversation with Rachel, and honestly, I thank her for it. It was, she did not have to give us the time that she did.
Oh, yeah.
She did. We were supposed to have a very limited amount of time with her. I did my research. Usually I take my research and I just, throw it to the side. But because I wanted to make sure I didn't leave anything out, I actually stuck to my outline. And she could not have been more generous with her time and with her information. I think she genuinely was trying to give us her best advice based on her tremendous experience of doing this. So the thing I'm getting out of it is serving the audience. So so we're here to serve. I'll do much better than when I was with a server with the Ramada Inn. I was a terrible server there.
I feel like banquets. There's a good story there.
It's the only job I've ever quit.
Oh.
In the middle of the night. Have I not told you this story?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so when I was in college, I worked for the Ramada Inn, and I was always looking for part-time jobs that I could work around my weird hours with school, because I was working, I was at the University of Missouri, the School of Journalism, and the School of Journalism has an NBC affiliate. So I truly have been tossing to the Today Show since I was 19 years old.
Wow.
I know. It's kind of sad, but kind of cool at the same time. So one of the jobs I had was I did early morning banquets for the Ramada Inn in Columbia, Missouri. Which meant that you got there at 4 a.m, and one of my jobs was to fill the water glasses. So you'd have these crates of water glasses stacked up. Do you want to know how we filled them? I don't think they do this now. A garden hose.
Oh.
It's horrible. this job was just hard. It was just a really physically taxing job. And so for somebody who was also staying up late, studying in air quotes, it was not a real conducive job. And so sure enough, I overslept for my 4 a.m. call. And my manager calls me. His name was Manuel. And he's just screaming at me on the phone. And I said, I kid you not, I quit. And I will never work a job where I have to work at 4 a.m. ever again. I did.
How'd that work out for you?
Not well, because I've now been doing it for the last 20 years.
That's funny.
And I get up at 2:20. So, I thought that's I told funny. You that job.
No.
Anyway, how do we get onto that? I don't even remember.
Serving people.
Serving people. I will be much better than when I worked at the Ramada.
I will be much better than when I worked the drive-through at McDonald's.
Yeah, that's equally. These are hard jobs.
3 whole months. Yeah.
That's what you lasted there. Okay, so we hope to do a much better job than we have at serving in the past. But getting back to the serving message, I think that the goal as we go into our next 10 episodes is delivering that idea to reality, delivering the inspiration, the motivation. I want to learn from people how they do things. And so I think we're going to tweak the format just a little bit. So I'm going to pitch you on this. You tell me where you want me to not do it. I think part 2, I like 3 acts, like a play, the beginning, the middle, the end. I feel like the first part is always going to be about what are you known for? And we are probably going to stick with better known people because that's what you know, right? Mm-hmm. With few exceptions. So we're going to start with what are you really known for? Part 2, I feel like, is how did you get there? How did you do that? What was it in your path that took you from A to B? And then part 3, I want to know how people live their life. How do you do life?
Yeah.
And I want to know their hacks. And I want to know the little things they do in a day that make a difference for them. Because maybe it's something that you and I want to try doing.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's not.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that's just as valuable.
Yeah, I think that that's a good plan of attack, and I think that's a good thing to have set and ready. But I think it's also, I feel like we have to keep it guest to guest, because sometimes you never know what kind of guest we might be able to line up and how we might have to tweak that just a little bit,
True.
There might be a super interesting side story that doesn't fall into one of those categories.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. So we have a plan?
Yeah. I like it.
That was a good, I really enjoyed that Rachel Hollis episode.
Oh yeah. It was good.
Dreams and goals.
Dreams and goals.
Goal is
different
to,
things.
Different things. Very different things. So our goal is to continue surveying. Our goal is to deliver the information. And our goal is to have some fun.
Have you written down your goals?
I have, as a matter of fact.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh. Did you get your journal?
I did not. I have a regular spiral notebook. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I did actually. I did start it. Did you?
No, I don't. I don't really write things.
You don't really. I don't read books. I don't write things down.
That's what I have.
Good thing you're so darn entertaining on this podcast. All right. Hey, thanks very much to everybody who's been listening and joined us along the way. We always welcome the constructive criticism. Neither one of us has what one would call a thin skin, that's for sure.
Right.
Let us know what you think, what you'd like to hear. And a huge thanks to people who've been writing in these reviews.
Yeah,
We had a bunch come in this week. And the really nice thing is I don't recognize your names.
Yeah.
And that is huge.
It's not like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so, that coworker.
It's really nice, Mom. But it's really meaningful. This is unlike any project you and I have ever worked on before.
Oh, yeah.
It is almost entirely word of mouth based.
Yeah, so tell your friends.
Tell your friends, treat it like a chain letter and spread the word. But that is very different to the way you and I have both worked over our careers.
Mm-hmm.
But we do appreciate the ratings reviews. That's kind of the report card. And when you click on that link that we send out, the landing page for KCRA.com, that's the analytic we use to figure out if we're on the right track.
Yeah.
So click away.
Yeah. Click the link, subscribe, review, all
Clickety
that fun
click,
stuff.
Click. All that good stuff. All that good podcasty stuff. All right. We'll see you again next week. Thanks.
Bye.